everything.
He really just did that in the second act, didn't he?
You were talking about that earlier, Sean, the stillness.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the stillness. And I think seeing it in conjunction with the Ring cycle especially, I think we said before when we saw the Ring that it feels like something's being done to you. You're just everything's being thrown at you and you can only grasp a few things out of that. But when you see this, it's something you have to engage with properly and focus and meditate. And that's what I think I'm getting from this. It's a very different experience.
It's a place without time. I always think, you know, at the after history's happened, that's when Parsifal takes place. And it's in that, you know, but it's what we call our age, postmodernism. You know, that Sean and I have grown up in the hell where there are Klingsors who want to make a magic castle without any work, where there are Gurmanaxes who historicize brutal Parsifals. And what do we do in that? The one thing this opera tells you to do is it gives you the grail, and that's the music, that you can come here and drink it and listen to it. And if there's one thing in this world of confusion, that's what will keep you young. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Now, we've just heard in the background there your fellow promos giving their daily financial report. But I want one from you as well. How many hours, days queuing have you totted it up?
Oh, God. I wouldn't like to think. A couple of days in total, I guess. Yeah,
Too long. Not too long. It's been a wonderful experience there. We have met so many exceptional people.
Oh, no, it's been fantastic. It has been truly festival-like.
You know, people, that's what I mean about staying young. The people who we've met who have been able, you know, they have this spark in their eye from listening to this stuff because it recenters you. You come back here and you realize this is what's real, this is what matters.
Yeah. And has it changed your view of Wagner from actually hearing it like this at the proms? A different kind of environment, not a house, and also very unusual hearing this range of Wagner operas over such a short space of time.
Yeah, as I was saying, I feel like each one is so different for different reasons, and to get the complete picture and to see it in this setting where, you know, you have to be focused, everyone's standing up at the front. I think this is the way it should be done, to be honest. It's like,
it's electrifying.
Yeah.
Well, there's no point asking whether it's been worth it. Because that's quite obvious. But I have to ask, what's Monday morning going to feel like, knowing there's no more? I know it's a bank holiday.
Notting Hill Carnival.
The carnival,
it's
we're
amazing.
Going. We're
gonna, it's
going
to be
drown
absolutely
our
wonderful.
Sorrows and dance.
Dance
to,
with flower maidens. To West dance through life, listen to music. It
that
will
sounds
be
like a brilliant solution, actually. Yeah. But how long are you going to leave it before you allow yourself to dip a toe into Wagner's heady world once again? Have you got plans?
We'll be back for the Covent Garden Parsifal, I think, in November.
Yeah, and anything else that comes along, if we can spot it. We try not to be too much of anorex nowadays and not just be so obsessed with taking in opera, but, you know, do something ourselves to make the world a better place.
Like, we're going to go and learn music properly, I think.
Yeah. And make a difference.
And one other thing, stress on the lower body. What's it been like standing?
It's better
down
to
in
stay.
The arena.
I'll say this
I think I'm fitter than I've ever been. They're going through this. It's really limbered me up.
Don't worry about standing. When you can get some of the best seats in opera houses around the world, you can get standing for no money. Don't worry about it. If you can, you can stand. It's fantastic.
Well, as a cyclist, maybe I should try it. It couldn't do me any harm. Look, Alan Shaw, thanks very much indeed
for
popping up. We'd better let you get back down below because you've got very little time to get
thank
back to your
so
seats.
Much.
So thanks very much for stopping by. And at the start of Parsifal's third act, it seems that some time has passed with no sign of Parsifal. It's a spring morning, and at the edge of the forest, Gurnemanz, now a very old man, emerges from a hermit's hut. He's heard a groaning lament, and he finds Kundry almost lifeless in the thorn bushes by the hut. She comes round, pale and with all her former wildness gone, a penitent now. All she wants to do is serve. As Kundry fetches water from the spring, they see a figure clad entirely in black armour emerge from the forest holding a spear, his visor closed. Gurnemanz chastises him for coming armed to such a hallowed place and on such a holy day. It's Good Friday. The knight thrusts the spear into the ground, removes his helmet, and kneels in silent prayer. Kundry and Gurnemanz recognise him, Parsifal, and with him the sacred spear that once pierced the crucified Christ's side and in Klingsor's hands gave Amfortas his grievous wound. So what's happened to him? Where's he been? Here's our Parsifal, Lars Cleverman.
We see an older person. He has grown to become a man. Years have passed. And he has been through a lot between the second and the third act. Since he got the spear back, he's lost in the woods and tried to find his way. He's attacked, cannot use the weapon because it's sacred. So he's wounded, he's tired, and all this fighting has really wore him down. And in a way, he almost has lost his hopes when he meets Gurnemans again. All the despair is still over him. And he has a lot of guilt also about the situation with Amfortas. So he's an older man, and in a way a broken man. His last powers he has used to get to where he is. Finally he meets Gurnemans again. But there's a healing coming also for Parsifal through the act.
Lars Cleverman, and Gurnemans realizes that with Parsifal and the Sacred Spear comes the healing that Amfortas and the community of Grail Knights so badly need. While Parsifal has been wandering, Amfortas has refused to allow the Grail to be uncovered, and so the Grail Fellowship's founder, Titurel, has died, no longer revived by the ritual unveiling that sustained him. His knights, dispirited and leaderless, lounge about listlessly, while Gurnemans himself waits for death. Parsifal is almost overcome with the burden of guilt, but Gurnemans gently raises him and urges Kundry to fetch water from the holy spring to bathe and refresh the pilgrim. Kundry anoints Parsifal's feet while Gurnemans blesses him, and Parsifal takes water from the spring to baptize Kundry in the name of the Redeemer. The magic of Good Friday has begun. A peal of bells summons them. Gurnemans drapes Parsifal in the mantle of the Grail Knights and leads him through the rocky walls once more to the mighty Hall of the Grail. The knights enter in procession, carrying Titurel's coffin from one side, Amfortas's litter from the other. They beg Amfortas to uncover the Grail, but he refuses, rushing amongst them wildly, urging them to plunge their weapons deep into his body, to slay the sinner, as he puts it, so that the Grail can shine clearly for them once more. And now Parsifal steps forward with the sacred spear, the weapon that wounded Amfortas, and the only one that can heal him. Parsifal goes to the altar and falls to his knees before the Holy Grail. Redemption is at hand. And the applause is for Sir John Tomlinson, for the Kundry of Katharina de Lyman, and for the Halle's music director, Sir Mark Elder, here to conduct the last act of Wagner's final opera, Parsifal.
Thank you. Ihr Stöhnen, was ich vernahm. Weib, hast du kein Wort für mich? Thank you. Dort dem heiligen Quell. In düstren Waffen schmucke. Was ist der Brüder keiner? Bietest du mir keinen Gruß? Ei, was? Wenn dein Gelübde dich bindet, mir zu schweigen, so mahnt das meine nicht, dass ich dir sage, was sich ziemt. Hier bist du angefeindet und da zieht man nicht mit Waffen her, geschlossenen Helmes, Schild und Speer. Und heute gar weißt du denn nicht, welch halber Tag heut ist. Ja, woher kommst du denn? Bei welchen Heiden weitest du zu wissen nicht, dass heute der Allerheiligste Karfreitag ist. Schnell ab die Waffen, kränke nicht den Herrn, der heute war, jeder mehr sein heilig Blut, dir sündigen Welt zur
dearests, die einst den Schwan erlegt. Welchen Pfade fand ihr? Der Speer, wie kenne ihn? O, heiliger Tag, an dem ich heute erkennst auch du mich noch, erkennst mich wieder, in Gram und Not so tief gebeugt. Wie kamst du heut vorhin?
Wohin weg, das zu wagen. Doch nur zu heilen, denn Die Heere tut. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Stund ist da. Gestatte, Herr, dass dein Knecht dich geleite.
Von selbst an leuchtet euch.
as the Holy Grail glows with soft light. From the dome above, a white dove descends to hover over Parsifal's head as he raises the Grail in blessing over the Fellowship of the Knights. The end of Richard Wagner's last opera, Parsifal. And here at the BBC Proms, our Parsifal this evening was Swedish tenor Lars Klevermann, who's just left the stage as the Halle's music director, Sir Mark Elder, walks to the front and opens his arms wide, bowing to the promenaders in front of him. And opening his arms now to his orchestra, the Halle. And behind them, the men from the chorus of the Royal Opera. We heard Mark Elder talking earlier about Parsifal's influence on a wide variety of composers, and Hugo Wolf was a student when he went to see the premiere at Bayreuth. Parsifal is without doubt the most beautiful and sublime work in the whole field of art, he wrote afterwards. It sounds like there are plenty of people here who'd agree as our four principals come back onto the stage. Bowing low, Kundry, Katharina de Leyman, Gurnemanz, Sir John Tomlinson, Amfortas, sung by Detlef Roth, standing in for Ian Paterson. And of course, Parsifal, Lars Klevermann, who made his Bayreuth debut 2 years ago as Tannhäuser, and you can hear his Siegfried in Götterdämmerung, recorded with the Halle and Mark Elder, an award-winning recording, and he was telling me he has still more Wagner immediately ahead of him. Two more Tristans, a ring at the Met, and then also one in Riga in Latvia. Here comes Detlef Roth, wound healed, succession assured, as Parsifal takes over the stewardship of the Knights of the Grail at the end of the opera. That's our Amfortas. He's from Germany's Black Forest. Kundry. Katharina de Leyman. The Rose from Hell, as Klingsor called her, sung, well, with tremendous impact here in the Royal Albert Hall. And de Leyman's a major presence in Wagner productions this season. She's been singing at Brunhilde and Kundry at the Met, Vienna and Bavarian State Operas. And her next engagement is Kundry in a new production in Stockholm. And those roars and the drumming of heels, it's Sir John Tomlinson, Gurnemanz, the veteran bass, vastly experienced Wagnerian. And he was telling me yesterday it's been one of the busiest seasons he can remember, not just Wagner, but Birtwistle, Henze, Bartok, Kurtag, a new Brett Dean piece with the Berlin Philharmonic. And here's Lars Klevermann. Shaking hands with John Tomlinson, joining hands with Katharina de Leyman, and the four of them come to the front of the stage and bow low. And we must mention our choruses, especially because of that contribution, that glowing contribution at the end of Parsifal. On stage, the Royal Opera Chorus, chorus master Renato Balsadonna. Off stage, from Manchester, the Halle Youth Choir. I think there's over 60 of them here, trained by Richard Wilberforce. And with them up in the gods here at the Royal Albert Hall, Trinity Boys Choir from Croydon in southeast London, over 30 of them. And here come the chorus masters, Renato Balsadonna, Richard Wilberforce, and for Trinity, Michael Holliday. And they and the other offstage elements were kept on the rails by assistant conductor Jamie Phillips, which is the very role Mark Elder used to play for Reginald Goodall at English National Opera. Stage direction by Justin Ray, of course, who we met during the first interval this evening. Well, Parsifal isn't just the epic ending to Wagner's lifelong search for his total work of art. It's also the end of this immense 200th anniversary Wagner Odyssey here at the BBC Proms this season. From the low, opening E-flat major of Das Rheingold at the start of Barenboim's Ring Cycle over a month ago to the radiant A-flat ending of Parsifal, which you've just heard conducted by Sir Mark Elder as he arrives back on the podium. He's asking for some of the principals in the Halle to take their share of the applause now, especially from the winds. Rheingold in E-flat, Parsifal in A-flat. It's an extremely elongated, perfect cadence, if you think about it, isn't it? But what an immense achievement it's been for everyone involved. And if you're wondering how you'll manage now without Wagner from the proms, don't forget to listen again online with the iPlayer radio. There is a little more Wagner to look forward to. The overture to the Master Singers, opening the last night of the proms in 2 weekends' time. Big roar for the onstage brass there. Now, there are 3 proms to look forward to tomorrow. Chamber music from Cadogan Hall at lunchtime, 1 o'clock. Back in the big hall, a light organ prom at 4:30, and the John Wilson Orchestra's Hollywood Rhapsody prom at 7:30. All of them live here on BBC Radio 3. Another roar for the Halle. Mark Elder nodding his appreciation to them, opening his arms wide again. Leader Lynn Fletcher. Well, that's Hollywood Rhapsody prom tomorrow. It's a world away from where Wagner has left us tonight with his radiant fable of compassion and redemption. It sounds like we're all Wagnerians now here at the BBC Prom's very own Bayreuth by the Serpentine. And as the soloists come back onto the stage to join Mark Elder, let's go back to the only slightly less exalted portals of Broadcasting House, where Katrina Young awaits us.
Thank you, Andrew. Very nicely put. That was Andrew McGregor at the Royal Albert Hall, and what an evening he's had. Well, it's certainly hard to follow that here on Radio 3, but follow it we must. We're running a little behind schedule at the moment. It's now just after 17 minutes to 11. And for tonight's World Roots, Lopa Katari was at last month's Rainforest World Music Festival in Borneo.
I'm James from Australia, and yeah, I've come to just enjoy the whole atmosphere and the whole spiritual coming together of this festival, and it's something I've been wanting to do for a really long time, and yeah, just glad I've made it, finally.
Okay, my name is Mary. I'm from the UK, and we've been here twice before, and we're here because we really enjoy the music and the atmosphere.
My name's Chad, I'm from Malaysia, from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and I'm just here tagging along with friends. It's been good so far, having a good time. I hope it doesn't rain tonight, like what it did yesterday, but yeah, enjoying myself, heaps of people around, yeah, been good.
Hi, I'm Vanessa from Australia. I'm here with my friend. We both decided to catch up for my birthday, and my friend's been living over in Thailand, so it was a nice place to meet. We have a similar World Music Festival back in Adelaide called WOMAD, which we love and we go to every year. So we thought, why not? Let's try something a little bit different. And we've just loved it. It's a fantastic festival, very relaxing, and you meet wonderful people. So,
I'm Irene Tan, come from Singapore. This is the first time I visit Kuching. Then because today I just reached here this evening, then I will talk to the taxi driver recommend us because he said this is the last night. Then if we miss this opportunity, so we will wait for another year, or that's why we are here.
Like most festivals, yes, we've had rain. The clue is in the name, though. I'm at the Rainforest World Music Festival on the island of Borneo, and you can be pretty sure that between 7 and 7:30 in the evening, it will indeed rain. But that hasn't deterred thousands of people, both from here in Malaysia and beyond, from coming to hear some of the great music in a truly dramatic setting. Now, here in Malaysia, the Chinese are one of the longest established migrant communities. And starting tonight are some of the new kids on the block. They call themselves the Shangyan Chinese Chamber Music Ensemble. But their music does reflect the fact that they consider themselves Chinese Malay, because sat amongst the zithers and the flutes is one of Malaysia's iconic traditional instruments, the sape.
Let's hear it for Shangyan Chinese Chamber Orchestra!
Well, the rain has followed us to the town of Miri, which is close to where the Bisaya people live. They're known as rainforest dwellers, and they're also famous for their music. But strangely, the instruments they're best known for playing are not made out of bamboo or any kind of wood. They are, in fact, brass gongs. We heard last week how the gamelan came to Malaysia from Indonesia, and several sets clearly found their way deep into the Sarawak rainforest. But this isn't the kind of sophisticated gamelan music you'll hear in Bali or Java or Kuala Lumpur or even on London's South Bank. This is music for the spirits of the forest. This is the real rural deal. Here they are, the Bisaya Gong Orchestra. Making the room virtually vibrate, the Bisaya Gong Orchestra, playing music from their community, one of the northernmost indigenous communities of Sarawak. Cornelius Lalam Sambat is the leader of the band.
Yes.
And Eni Lukong runs the community center here in Miri, where the band are playing for us. Tell me, how did the metal gong come to this community?
Actually, I think they, in the ancient time, I think they bought from the island of Java, I think Java, from Indonesia. So when they come to the, our Bisaya community, so they play that music to perform their spiritual, their ritual to heal the sickness. But now, I think we hang it at our corner of the house, at the lobby of the house, and then everybody can play. We keep on playing.
Cornelius, some of the music you play all night long.
We call it Tamarok. So during that time, we play this music the whole night. So the spirit asks people to play the music.
Actually, the medium spirit asking for the music. And then they ask the type of music should be played. So the musician have to follow. So easy to cure the sickness. So meaning that the medium spirit negotiate with the higher spirit to cure the sickness.
So when somebody is unwell,
yes, true.
The spirit that can heal.
Yeah, can heal.
Asks the band to play that music,
yes,
which will help the spirit get the power from the greater God.
Yes, that can cure the sickness. So there's certain music also we put it as our happy for our occasion. We call it gandang parang, and this gandang chayao usually is for the happy occasion, actually, wedding ceremony.
So the next piece is gandang baradu.
Baradu. All this type of music we use is during the harvesting, or during the offering time.
So your music is to say thank you for the harvest and please heal the people who are sick.
Really thanksgiving.
Gandang Baradu, celebrating the harvest and bringing healing powers to the spirits. That's from Bisaya Gong Orchestra. Now, joining me now is Antonio Kati Gales, who's the president of the Persatuan Bisaya Sarawak, the head representative of the Bisaya community here in Miri. Mr. Gales, tell me something about the Bisaya community.
There are about 10,000 of us. We have more than 30 villages along the riverside, riverine community, and also by the roadside now. When the road coming over to our area, and then people residing next to the road.
Is this making it easier to let other communities know about your culture?
Sure, yeah. In the village level, those days when they do ritual, they don't have a sound system. So they have to hit it quite loud. And you can hear it from far distance, because in the village setting is quite quiet. There's no car, no motorcycle. You can hear the sound of this gong easily 2 or 3 kilometers away.
What a great way to say that the party has begun.
Yes, exactly. It's more like that.